The week when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. We began our Easter celebration many weeks ago with this very gospel. In it, we, of course, were focused on the first appearance of the disciples by the risen Lord. But we hear it again, because this time the focus is on preparing the disciples to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what a gift that was. Keep in mind, these are the same men who had abandoned Jesus out of fear for their lives in the Garden of Gethsemane, who had locked the door of the upper room, as we heard in today's gospel, for fear of the Jews, and continued to cower behind those locked doors until the gift of the Holy Spirit was given them. And then all of a sudden, they threw open those doors. They went out into public and began to proclaim the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that the man who had been crucified has been raised from the dead, that he is the Son of God, and through belief in him, people will have salvation and the gift of eternal life. They proclaimed this message publicly in the temple area and wherever people would listen to them. And because of that, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, they were arrested, tortured, and one by one, each of the apostles gave up their life. The gift of the Holy Spirit gave them not only wisdom and understanding, but it gave them courage. Courage to speak the truth of the gospel. Courage that even though they were doing so at risk of their own lives, the truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior was too important to keep to themselves. That same Holy Spirit that emboldened those apostles to become the first evangelizers of the faith, that same Holy Spirit is active in the church today. At our baptism, the Holy Spirit took up residence in each of our hearts and continues to accompany us each and every moment of life's journey. But the Holy Spirit as well is active in the church, making good on Christ's promise to be with us till the end of the ages. And most especially, he does so through the sacraments of Christ's church. We pray in baptism for those to whom you have been pleased to give the new birth of water and the Holy Spirit, granting them the forgiveness of all their sins. In confirmation, we pray that the Holy Spirit may make us witnesses before the world to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In marriage, we pray that God will graciously stretch out your right hand over these your servants, we pray, and pour into their hearts the power of the Holy Spirit. Just last week, I heard this prayer as Fathers Tim and Vinny were ordained priests. For by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you made your only begotten Son high priest. And by your wondrous design, were pleased to decree that this one priesthood should continue in the church. In the sacrament of reconciliation, God sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. In the anointing of the sick, we pray, through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And in this sacrament, as the words are prayed over gifts of bread and wine, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the Holy Spirit is truly active in our church, most especially in the sacraments that Christ left us. Sacraments that allow us to encounter our Lord and Savior. Sacraments that allow us to be initiated into his mystical body, the church. Sacraments of healing. Sacraments of vocation. And of course, this sacrament, where we encounter the real presence of Jesus, where we feed on his body and blood as food for our journey throughout life. My dear friends, this Easter season has been about reflecting on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how it touches every aspect of our life. But most especially, we wrap up this Easter season by recalling the great gift of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Son of God came and became one of us and has taken the human body up into heaven. And now the Holy Spirit is able to inhabit the bodies of all who believe, bringing Christ's presence into our life, healing us, guiding us, and ultimately leading us to eternal life in heaven. We give thanks to our Heavenly Father for sending Jesus to become one of us. But we thank Jesus and the Father for sending their Holy Spirit to accompany us on life's journey, a journey that will ultimately end in our ultimate destiny, eternal life in heaven. And we pray that through the grace and guidance of the Holy Spirit, this may be accomplished.